Lord, thy God is plenteous in mercy. And when we come according to the word and leave the case with him, then the Lord thy God, he it is that doth work according to his own good will. And he doeth all things well. There hath not failed one good word of his promise. He's the same to all generations from ever and forever. And so to you who might have problems and trials and heartaches that hath distressed thee and disturbed thee and caused thee so much concern, realize the God that hath been faithful to every generation will in no wise fail thee nor forsake thee. As thou dost commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him and believe that the Lord thy God, he it is that doth delight to do things for your good and his glory, that his name might be honored, saith the Lord thy God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Sister Hibbard, that ended by saying, thus saith the Lord thy God. You go out on the street today and tell somebody that the God of the universe, that made the universe, spoke to us in the morning service. They'd think he's a nut. But I'm going to ask you, did he? Has it become a common thing? God help it never to become a common thing. There are people in the world, if you could tell them that this can happen, it could be possible. When the Bible is very clear, it tells you exactly. You don't even have a New Testament church unless you have the gifts in it. Gifts, tongues, interpretation, that the church may receive edification, by one is moved upon by the Holy Ghost, third member of the Godhead, they speak another tongue, Holy Ghost moves upon another with the gift of interpretation, according to Paul's writing in Corinthians, 12th chapter and the 15th also. And the Holy Ghost anoints them and they give the interpretation. It's word for it. It's just like this. If God's in heaven, he sees the church here, everybody out, he knows everyone sitting, he knows that boy sitting up there, he knows this man sitting here, he knows these two women sitting right here, he knows this one right here on the corner, he knows all the one in the orchestra, he knows everybody's heart, he knows what your needs are. And I happened to, as she mentioned there, real quickly, he said, when he started off this message, he started off by saying that as he is in our midst and he is thoughtful of his people, and he mentioned all those who have problems, trials, and heartaches. And there was one or two more, but I just jotted those three down real quickly as she was giving it out. The Lord just picked up the microphone in heaven and the Holy Ghost anointed, and here comes the message and here comes interpretation. When it is over, what it amounted to, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one that died for us on the cross, one has all power in heaven and in earth. He's omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. He's not afraid of nobody. He knows everything. He's got everything running just right. He's not afraid. He's not scared. He's not afraid that the devil's going to take something away from him. He knows the condition of the earth. He told us 1900 years ago exactly how it'd be today. He's looking down and seeing everything he said is happening just like he said. He's got everything cool and collected, and he sees us gathered here this morning. He knows he's about ready to blast the heavens and come and receive us again. He knows exactly what you've done through the week. He knows your heart, and he knows those that have trials. Problems is the one he mentioned first. Problems. Problems. You know, when a thing becomes a problem, you've got to try to solve it out. It amounts to a problem. What I'm saying is this. God, the God of the universe, the one that we're talking about, the one we pray to, he said he would do this. He said he ascended on high and gave gifts unto men. What are some of the gifts? Some are tongues, some interpretation of tongues, some are gifts of miracles, some are prophecy. But what God said this morning when he spoke, he meant every word of it. And the words that were spoken were to you. And it's to those that have problems. How many here this morning, one thing about it, you do not, now it could be that a few do, but there's a lot that don't. You don't have any problem. But how many here this morning, you're glad you don't have any problems right now? There's no problems. Let me see your hand. Well, thank God, there's four of them that don't have any problem. How many, honest, how many somewhere about, it's among the children or your own life or your financial setup or somewhere there are problems that amount to problems to you, and they're not so big but what the God of the universe that has all power in heaven and in earth could take care of them. How many here this morning, you do have something that had come under the head of a problem? Be honest about it. Put your hand up. I wish you'd look. No wonder he said that. The next one is this, trials. Trials. I'm sure we have some in our church that have loved ones that are sick. And they've been sick for months and months and months and months. And we prayed and prayed and prayed and haven't been healed. You know what that amounts to? It amounts to a trial. And you know, when you are engaged in a conflict with a devil and there's a battle on in temptation, your flesh is battling to do a certain thing and the spirit's trying to fight against it, and the spirit's trying to, it wars against the desire of the flesh and the lust of the flesh. It desires against us, it wars against the soul. And there are battles that go on. You want to stay up. You want to stay on the overcoming side. But there's a battle. And it amounts to a trial. It actually does that. Because it's gone on and on and on. And it's amounted to a trial. I wonder how many here this morning, somewhere in the building, that you have a trial. And you couldn't have it without God knowing all about the trial. You see, how many, there's something in your life or involved in your surroundings or your job or your home or others, and you prayed and prayed and prayed, and seemingly it's still not straightened out. It's a trial. Let me see your hand. Thank you. And then the third, and he said, there are those with heartaches. Brother, I'm going to tell you right now, a lot of people, they just go and look on the outside. It looks like the Lord's looking on the inside of all of us around here. Heartaches. Things that makes your heart ache. Now, sometimes we have greater heartaches. Sometimes afflictions of loved ones. Sometimes it's financial embarrassment. Sometimes it's conflicts on the job that brings heartaches. Sometimes it's separation from loved ones and misunderstandings, and they don't understand. It brings heartaches to you. And others that you prayed and prayed and prayed for, they're drifting further and further away. You can't understand it. God's not answering prayer. And you think, oh, God, I can't stand it any longer. And it amounts to heartache. Jesus just got through picking up the microphone of heaven. He just got through speaking to us this morning, saying that he is here, present this morning, that if you have problems, if you have trials, if you have heartaches, and then he went on with a number of other things, bringing that he is here, he is mindful, he is capable of helping, and he wants you to come to him. But if we don't watch, we let the opportunity slip by. How many believe he knows right now everything he said to us a while ago? Now, how many in this building, you're honest about it? Somewhere there is a heartache, and it amounts to a heartache, something that brings ache to your heart. I know there's some that are worse than others, but I'm so glad that Jesus Christ is a remedy for heartaches. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is bigger than the heartache you have this morning? I know what it is to not be able to sign your name because of heartache. Things that actually break your heart. And I've tried my best, 27 years old, try to sign my name on a check lined up to pay for groceries. There are the groceries all stacked up. I tried three times and my hands are shaking. I couldn't do it. Embarrassed, I took the groceries and carried them back and went outside. Sat in the car and wept and said, God, you're going to have to do something. He did. Oh, I can't explain when he did. The heartache taken away. God knows how. How many believe he just knows how to do it? All he wants you to do is just to put yourself on his operating table. Just say, God, here I am. Not just, oh, God, all of us need something. Please help us this morning. No, say, if he doesn't help a person here this morning, Lord, I'm climbing up on your operating table. Thank God I want you to do something about it. Now, I'm asking this. How many here this morning, you have had things that amount to heartache? And it does amount to heartache. Let me see your hand. Be honest. Put it up. There's all these people in this building. Now, we could go ahead and deal with this later. But if we deal with this later, it might get just a little cold. He's sitting there right now. You say, does he think? Jesus, I'll say, yes, son, what is it? You know how many hairs I had in having my head? Yep. You want me to tell you how many you got there now or how many you had just before you combed your hair? You know, you got 28 that went out in that last combing. 28. Lord, do you really know that? The book says he knows the numbers of the hairs of our head. You say, I don't see how he does it. Well, I wouldn't know how in the world it'd be God if he didn't know it, because he's omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. It's just because he's God. I'm not God, but there are three, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And he just picked up the microphone and said, if you just knew it, you've got someone on this end of the line that's able to help you. And I'm just introducing myself and telling you that I am in your midst. It said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in their midst to do what? To do something about it. I don't know of anything on the face of the earth that is more vital and more important than answering his statements that he made us just a moment ago, and his invitations that if we had trials, if we had problems, if we had heartaches, and may I say this, did he leave out something? Well, he went ahead and said a number of other things. But may I say this? Any other need that you have, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus our Lord. How many believe that God can meet your need this morning? How many, but honest now, right here, right now, I want to know this. How many here in this building, you're saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, you're on your way to heaven, you're prayed up, you're working for God, you've taken communion, you pay your tithe, you love God, you love all human beings, you don't hate anybody, and you're on your way to heaven, you've got your bills paid, and you're not financially embarrassed? 100% you are thoroughly, completely satisfied. You don't have a worry, a fret. You don't have a uncertainty. You don't have any problems. You don't have any heartaches. You don't have any trials. You don't need one thing from God. Luckily enough, you happen to be exactly right. There's nothing wrong. Let me see your hand all over the place. Well, I don't have a customer here. I guess they're somewhere else. Oh, hallelujah. Let me say this. Did he ever turn anyone down that come honest and say, Lord, I want you to help me? Did he ever? No. I want to ask you this. Do you think he'll turn you down this morning? And if you don't get what you have need of, let me tell you right now, it's not God's fault, it's yours. You say, Brother Hibbert, I don't merit it. Well, that's one good thing about it, brother. The book tells you. If you come up here saying, Brother Hibbert, I merit it. I'm as holy as God himself, and I'm holy, and I'm good, and I'm nice, and I'm just as sweet as sugar I am, and I'm all right, and I deserve that. Well, I'd have to have you stand in the back hall, because I don't know whether God would do anything for you till you get out of that. Brother, I don't care how good you've been. When you come to God, you don't come by any merits of your own. How many believe that? Oh, I'm so glad that he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, that have been praying a whole lot every day, and you love your mother-in-law, and you love your wife, and you're sweet, and you're kind, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. But he didn't do that. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He come to save. He come to help. He's never changed his mind. He went to battle for everyone that ever come to him. He never turned down a customer. He never turned down a customer. Even the woman caught in the very act of adultery, they brought him before him and said, now it's going to be your words. Moses said, kill her. We caught her in the act. We opened the door, walked in. There she was, a woman married to a man, caught in the very act. And Moses said, stone her. Now we're asking you. You say it from your mouth. It was his customer. Well, he didn't come to condemn, he come to save. He didn't justify sin. He never has. And he don't justify your sin. But he's not going to leave you out if you'll come. He'll save you. He'll blot it out. He'll straighten you out. He can do what you have need of. Now he said something. He could have said, well, the one thing I hate is sin. You're caught in the act, huh? A wife. All right. Get some rocks, boys. Show them that I'm here to preach holiness, and I'm here to stand for it and back it up. Oh, no, because he had a heart, and he goes out to help man that's on the bottom. He wants to do what he can for him. He looked about, and he saw the hypocrisy in those men that had blood in their eyes wanting to bust her ribs open and kill her. He saw the sin in their life. It wasn't adultery, no, but it is some other sin that God hated. And Jesus just reached down real quick, and he began to write in the sand. And as he did, he eyeballed one man that had a big old rock. He just eyeballed him. And that old boy that was being eyeballed, he looked to see what he wrote, and it was his sin he had been committing. And he said, the fellow that don't have any sin, I want him to do the starting. I want him to set it off with a big blow, and I want it to go right in the woman's ribs. Just the one that don't have any sin, shoot the first rock. And he wrote. And that man dropped his rock and stepped out. And he looked around and eyeballed another one. And he wrote in the sand. And one by one, they dropped the rocks and went back. What's he doing? He's going to a bat for somebody that's willing to have a hand stretched out in a perishing sea when there's no hope, there's darkness. I have been brought as a sinner, as a vile one that has violated God's almighty law. I'm guilty of adultery, worthy of a death penalty, and they're bringing me in the presence of one who is the essence of holiness. There she was shaking, and all of her accusers had gone. And he looked at her, and he said, woman, where are those thine accusers? And she said, Lord, I have none. And he looked at her. He could have reprimanded her. He said, woman, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Quit the sin business. That woman turned around and said, a guy that'll act like that, go to bats when I'm supposed to be a dead woman, and he tells me to go and sin no more. It takes the desire of sinning out of me. It's Jesus here this morning that takes the desire of sin out. He didn't say, if you have wickedly fussed and cursed. And he didn't bring a bunch of accusations. Said, if you'll hit the altar and pray for you, I'll forgive you. He said, do you have a problem? Do you have a problem you're fighting with? You're laboring with it. You eat with it. You sleep with it. Do you have a problem? Do you have a trial? Do you have the trial? It's gone on and on and on. When will the sun come up? When will things change? Satan has had me on the merry-go-round. It's been a vicious circle. When will it break? And he sees your helplessness to break it. Trials, those who have heartaches. You can't explain it. You can't go to a psychiatrist, say, man, do something. Get it out. I can't stand it. I don't want to leap out of a building. I don't want to take poison. I want to live, but I did. Take it out. What is it, lady? It's a heartache. I'm sorry. Go to the doctor. Doctor, you're the great physician. One of the greatest. I come to you. You know how to cut out the appendix. You know how to cut out the gallbladder. I can't stand it. My heart's about to break. Doctor, what? The doctor said, what is it, lady? It's a heartache. It's killing me. I can't stand it. And the doctor said, honey, I can't do nothing for you. But there's one that said, come unto me, all you that labor. All you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Who are you? I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead and am alive forevermore. All power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. And I say, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Stand to your feet right now all over the building. I want individuals in the balcony, in the lower floor, to remember that he was thinking of you. He was looking at you, and he's present here. Though you can't see him, he is present. He spoke to us directly from heaven. He's waiting your reaction. Whatever person here this morning that you want God to do for you exactly what you have need, so you can say, and you say, well, yes, it's been paid for. By one sacrifice, God perfected forever those that are sanctified. You come to Jesus Christ by the blood, and Calvary has perfected you, and by faith you can come for any imperfections this morning. And if it's a trial, problem, heartache, fear, matters not what it is. But I want everyone to make a move to make it this way. I'm not caring whether a person in this building makes a move. I'm going to let Jesus Christ know that I've needed him in the past, and he come to my rescue. I need him this morning. The problem you have may not be so big, but it's growing. It'll get bigger. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Next Sunday, Brother Hibbert, you'll have the same kind of service. Same spirit, moving the same way. It may never be exactly as it is right now. I've preached for 40 some odd years. I have never had a service exactly like this in my life. I've had good services, but not to run just as it is here. It's different. You may never have one like this again. They're all different. But seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. If ever there's a time in the history of the Gospel Lighthouse Church when the Lord said, I am here. I am here to take your trials, your heartaches, your troubles. I am here to minister to you. He's been here many times, but we know he's here now. Jesus Christ is present right now. The Christ I've told you about. Listen, friend. I want you to look to God right now. I want you to say to the Lord, Lord, won't you turn the searchlight right on my heart? Would you do it right now? Father, I'm praying that you'll speak to individuals right now. Oh God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name. While we stand, I have an absolute instructions from the Lord. If you want him to do something for you this morning, by placing yourself in his hand on his operating table to answer your prayer. I want you to step out of the position you're in. And if there's such a crowd you can't step very far, let that step, let God see it and say, God, it's headed toward you. I want you in the balcony, I want you to come down those steps. I want you to come to the Lord. We're going to pray. You don't have to move. You don't have to come. But I'm asking you, if you want God to help you, seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. And when you get down here, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something. I want you to come. Now, if there's someone on the balcony and you feel that you desperately need the Lord to help you, you can move from where you are. But I want you, if there is something you need God to do for you this morning, God is here. And God's going to answer prayer. While we stand and before we pray and before the windows of heaven are open and before God ministers to you and God gives you what you have need of and God's going to do it, I'm going to tell you something. And I want God to hear me when I tell you. I can't pray the prayer of faith and lie, and I never lied to you in my life. I've told you right. I'd announced that I'd bring a special message this morning, and there was two others that I had heavy upon my heart. And I went in there last night and I said, now, Lord, here's this one. When you blot out, God can't forget. And there's another one that I have. Abiding in the 23rd Psalm, abiding. Oh, it was eating on my soul. And there was another one. And that the last one that I had, I thought that I might bring, was a scripture that I'd been thinking about. And I thought maybe, and that was when God shuts the door for the night. Closed for the night. And I went in to pray. And as I prayed, I felt that God might have even something different. I'd announced that I'd speak this morning. And as I did, I finally stood to my feet and began to weep. And as I did, I said, God, I feel like you got something special for the people in the morning. And Lord, right here, I'm laying all three of them aside. And they're as dead as they can be. And unless you resurrect them, when the time comes, I'm not going to depend on them. Because there's something else coming up. And I said, when I stand up there, Sunday morning you give me the signal. And if it's something brand new from your heart, let it be. But I want one thing. I want 100%. I want your will in that service Sunday morning. When I came here, I felt with all my heart that God was moving and God was going to do something different. Now, whether you believe it or not, I know that God is here, and I know that he picked up the microphone a while ago and he told you he'd do these things. He can't lie. He's got all power. He's not afraid of the devil. The devil will warp your mind. He'll tell you that God's not going to do it, and he'll tell you don't feel anything. We're not going by feelings. We're going by what God said. When you pray, believe that you receive it and you'll have it. God expects you to honor him and believe that he's bigger than the enemy, bigger than your problem. Raise your hand right now and let God know that it's going to be done. Raise it and talk right to him. Tell him you want him to do it right now. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Oh God, you said seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him. Call upon him. And Lord, let him do it. Let him call upon you while he is near. Lord, there are those here this morning, there may come a time that they'd give their life, spin a million times to be able to call, but they'll not be there to hear. You're there now. You can hear now. And we pray to speak to the souls of men. We pray to minister to these that are here. Oh God, by the power of the Holy Ghost, we pray to step down into their very life. Anything in the like of a trial, or a test, or a heartache, Lord, we pray to master the thing. Let the power of the Holy Ghost minister to the thing, Lord, that's been warping their mind, warping their thinking. In Jesus' name,
loose them and set them free. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory, glory, glory to God. Glory to God, hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, say the word. Say the word, and it's done. We believe you. Brother Hicks, get that. He touched me. Now, after this is over, we'll have a few other things, but we're through with the preaching. We're through with you getting. The Bible said, feel after the Lord. Because he is not far from every one of you. Does he say it? Does it mean that God is in reaching distance of everyone here this morning? How many has touched him already? Let me see your hand. Praise God. If I was here this morning and I hadn't touched God in this service, I'd be fearful. I'd be afraid to ever go to bed. I'd be afraid to ever eat another bite until I had a talk with God and knew that God had done whatever I had need of. God is here. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. And I don't want anyone to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. But we're going to sing that. He touched me. Not he's going to touch you. There comes a time you've got to believe it's done. How many believe when you raised your hand, he's already waiting? And all you've got to do is to lay hold on it and say, thank God it's done. Well, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that flooded my soul. Will something, will it happen? And now I know. Will it be that he made me whole? I want everyone to sing it again. Sing it with the sound of victory. You know what? You know what? When a doctor comes and gets someone that's nearly dead, and they're his patient, he does his best. God only healed, but they put the medicine in, this, that, and other, but he does his best. And the first thing you know, after 2 or 3 days, he sees you up, going about, smiling. It makes him feel good. And you know, the Lord spoke to us a while ago, and he said, I'm here. I'm here to take care of your trials. I'm here to take care of your troubles. And I'm here to take care of your heartaches. And as he looks down, he's looking at someone who doesn't have any heartaches. You're looking right through. All the heartaches used to be there. You had to look through your heartaches, look through your trials, look through your tests, look through your burdens. But thank God he's a burden lifter, isn't he? He's a burden lifter, and he's done that. I want you to sing that chorus one more time and sing it to him as he looks down and sees the work that he has already done. You have believed it. When you believe it, that's how it's done. That's right. It's done just like that. You see, he don't have to do anything to bring you that complete victory. He did it all on Calvary. All of it was paid for there. By faith, you merely come and receive what he paid for. Come on again. Well, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And to give the Lord a hand clap that he'll be proud of.
want you, we're going to take up the offering, and I want June to sing that song, "There'll Be No More War." She came up and said she felt they asked her to sing. She said she'd sing that, and that's the very one we need for this climax of this message this morning. And I want you to be seated, everyone. No one leave to dismiss. We'll be dismissing in a few minutes. But you can carry back to your seat the victory. Thank God the devil is defeated. Your problem is in God's hand, and he is able to keep that which is committed unto him against that day.